السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، خير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. So the topic that I want to address today, inshallah ta'ala, is the causes of corruption, ruin, and also rectification. And to introduce this topic, I want to begin with a series of ayat in the Qur'an. And through these ayat in the Qur'an, I want to explain how an individual and how a society and how a whole nation, there are two key things that an individual, a society and a nation, there are two key things that each of these types that they are concerned with. So for example, when you wake up in the morning, whether consciously or subconsciously, there are two things in your mind. And likewise, as we work from the individual to the family, to the society, to the nation and the government, there are two things that everybody is thinking of and is concerned with. And these affairs have been alluded to in the Qur'an. And so we'll start introducing these two things by way of the supplication of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he said, as occurs in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ جِعَلْ هَذَا بَلَدًا آمِنًا وَارْزُقْ أَهْلَهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. When Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, O my Lord, make this a safe and secure city. He's speaking about Mecca. Make this a safe and secure city, and provide its inhabitants with fruits. So here Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua for this city, first of all for security and safety, amen, and secondly for provision, which is rizq. Now we see the same thing repeated in another ayah in Surah Ibrahim itself, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ جِعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدِ آمِنًا. When Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, O my Lord, make this city to be safe and secure. And then we see from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when we come to the pagans of Quraysh, we see that Allah Azza wa Jal, addressing them, he says, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. So let them worship the Lord of this house, who has fed them from hunger, meaning fed them to keep them away from hunger. So this now is provision, and who made them feel safe and feel secure without having to fear. So here we see that these are the two opposites of the things that Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he made a supplication for. He made a supplication for amn, for security, and he made a supplication for rizq, which is sustenance. And so here Allah Azza wa Jal, he's recounting his favor to these pagans of Quraysh, because this particular chapter comes after the chapter of the elephant, Al-Fil, when the Christian king came to, you know, destroy the Kaaba, destroy this commercial center. And so this was a sign and a reminder for these pagans of Quraysh in the time of the Messenger of Allah, that he destroyed them for you, and so therefore he allowed your rizq to continue. He fed you away from hunger, and he made you keep living in insecurity. So once again we see, or we see from these ayat in the Quran, that as I said to you at the beginning, when you wake up there are two things you are thinking of. You want to feed yourself and your family. This is rizq. And you engage in whatever your activities are of seeking sustenance, working, studying and whatever else. The end goal of all of that is rizq, is you are seeking rizq. And the second thing that you are thinking of, that you are concerned about, is you want safety and security. You do not want yourself, your blood, your body, your wealth, your property to be harmed or suffer any loss. Right? So you're always looking for security. So these two things, as I said, you as an individual and as a family, as a society, as a nation, even governments and whole nations, this is what they are there to do. They are there to facilitate people's livelihoods. They want to facilitate rizq, right? So they allow things to proceed. They have laws and so on and so forth, right? So this is the economy, the functioning of the economy. Jobs and cost of goods and everything else that relates to this. And similarly, they are concerned also with security, national security. They want their subjects to be safe. They want their borders to be protected. They don't want any harm to come to, you know, their subjects. So you can see that al-aman and al-rizq is the concern of everybody. And in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal has given us a parable. And in this parable, He explains how a city or a society or a nation, it moves from security and sustenance on the one hand to the opposites, which is fear, to live in fear of your life, your wealth, and also poverty or hunger. And so this parable is in Surah An-Nahl, in which Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا. Allah has set forth a parable. قَرْيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً. Parable of a city. This city was آمِنَة, meaning it is safe and secure. And مُطْمَئِنَّة, meaning tranquil, living in tranquility. يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. Its sustenance comes to it, you know, in abundance from every direction. So this is an affluent city, a safe city, a secure city. This city is in fact Makkah, but this parable applies to every city. So then what happened? فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. It then denied or disbelieved or denied or was ungrateful for the favors of Allah. فَأَذَاقَهَ اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَسْنَعُونَ. So what was the consequence? The consequence was that Allah Azza wa Jal, He made this city to taste the clothing of al-ju' wal-khawf. Al-ju' wal-khawf, which is hunger and fear. So these are the two opposites. The two opposites of what Ibrahim alayhi salam, he made a supplication for, of safety and sustenance. Bima kanu yasna'un, on account of that which they used to do. So here now from this parable we understand that when we try to understand our own lives, or the society in which we are living, or the nation in which we are living, how and why does it fluctuate between being prosperous and well off and being safe and secure to live in? You can step outside of your door. You can travel from one place, end of the country to another, and you feel totally safe. How and why does the situation change from this to that? Right? So this is the question we need to ask ourselves, because when we look in our own lives, and the countries in which we live, and nations all across the world, Muslim nations, and we see what is happening in these Muslim nations, and we see that what are the two main things that people are complaining about? They are complaining about rizq, sustenance, jobs, economy, welfare, so on and so forth, and they are complaining about safety. Safety for them, their lives, the family's lives, and so on and so forth. So, with this introduction, my aim in this lecture was to help answer this question by way of numerous statements from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, and before them, a nice statement from Imam al-Qurtubi's tafsir, inshallah ta'ala. And as we read the statements of these scholars, then you will find the question, the answer to this question being presented, unraveling itself to you. How do individuals and societies, do they move between, prosperousness, prosperity and safety, and on the other side? And this will help us to understand the real and true causes of ruin and corruption and success. And once we understand this, we will then be able to see clearly that the guidance of the messengers is the most complete and perfect of guidance. And that the guidance that they brought in order to rectify whole societies, to turn them around, to bring them to prosperity, to bring them to safety, to remove the fear that they had, that all of this is found completely and perfectly in the guidance of the messengers, the methodology of the messengers, that which they came with in order to rectify the servant and the land. And once we understand that, we will then be able to see very clearly how, unfortunately, the Muslims have been tremendously misguided from the true and real causes of rectification, how they have been misguided by individuals, figureheads, groups, parties, sects. All of these people have come and they've misunderstood this issue. They've misunderstood this issue of how to understand what's happening in our society and how to understand the true and real causes behind what's happening in this society. Why is there a lack of jobs? Why are the people fearful for their lives? Why can they not live in tranquility? What's the reason? Why is there an economic depression? Why are the prices so high? Why are the jobs so scarce? Right? These people misunderstood the true and real reasons behind these affairs. And then they went to the writings and the theories and the philosophies of the disbelievers. Right? And they began to take from them their ideologies and then tried to rectify Muslim societies by way of these foreign introduced ideas, innovations, philosophies, and so on and so forth. And in the process, they create much more harm and much more corruption than there was to begin with. Right? So these are some of the issues that we want to learn and understand by way of these statements that we're going to read from these scholars, inshallah ta'ala. So, first of all, I'm going to focus around one ayah in the Quran, even though there are many ayat in the Quran that we could focus around, which explain this topic. So, for example, another ayah is إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Indeed, Allah does not change what is with a people until they change that which is with themselves. So this ayah now, we could just focus upon this ayah and commentary from the Salaf, from the Mufassirun, and from the other scholars, and use this verse as the basis. And we could answer the same question. Right? But I'm not going to choose that particular verse. The verse I'm going to choose is the verse in Surah Rum, Surah 30, verse number 41. And this is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. Mischief, corruption has appeared upon the land and the sea on account of what the hands of men have earned. لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. In order that he may give them a taste, to make them taste some of the deeds they have done, they have committed. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. In order that they may turn back, that they may turn back. So this verse allows us to answer that question. What moves a nation and a society from living in prosperity and peace and security and sustenance and provision, and it moves from that and it goes to poverty and hunger and fear and being scared for one's life, for one's property? What? And this ayah answers this question. So Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, there are numerous explanations, maybe 7 or 8 explanations. And he first of all says, what is the corruption? What is the corruption here being referred to in this ayah? So Qatada rahimahullah, he said, al-fasadu al-shirk. Al-fasadu al-shirk. The corruption here being mentioned, al-fasad, is al-shirk. وهو أعظم الفساد. And it is the greatest fasad. And Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما and إكرمة and Mujahid, they all said, فساد البر قتل ابن آدم أخاه قابيل قتل هابيل. As for the corruption on the land, it is the killing of قابيل of هابيل. Basically, murder. The first murder. This was corruption on the land. And in the sea, وفي البحر بالملك الذي كان يأخذ كل سفينة غصبا. And as for the sea, then it is referring to that king, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, who would, on the sea, he would capture the ships. He would plunder the ships. So this now is corruption on the sea. Another view is, of al-fasad is al-qahd wa qillatu an-nabat wa dhahab al-barakah. The corruption being referred to is a famine or a drought where nothing grows. There's no herbage or plants. And likewise, the barakah disappears. The blessing in plants and fruits, and the blessing basically disappears. So meaning in their taste and in their size and in their nutrition, the barakah disappears. And likewise, Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, he said, هو نقصان البركة بأعمال العباد كي يتوبوا. So what happens is that the blessing, the plentifulness and the wholesomeness and the goodness, it decreases because of the actions of the servants that they are committing. And they are made to see this decrease. Why? So that they are able to repent. They are able to make the link between the decrease in the barakah and their own actions, being the cause of that. And likewise, he brings some other opinions. وَقِيلْ الْفَسَادُ كَسَادُ الْأَسْعَارِ وَقِلَّةُ الْمَعَاشِ. He said that al-fasad here is an economic depression. An economic depression. Meaning the market has become stagnant, it has become still, and the economy is now, you know, in a depression. And he also said, وَقِيل الْفَسَادُ الْمَعَاصِي وَقَطْعُ السَّبِيلِ وَالظُّلْمِ. The corruption here, it means disobedience, and the paths being cut off, the roads being cut off, meaning you are fearful to travel because you fear some bandits are going to attack you and steal your wealth, your possessions, and harm you and your family. وَالظُّلْمِ, and the occurrence of dhulm, of oppression. So from all of these statements that Al-Qurtubi has basically summarized, we can see that many of these things that we, for example, you might eat a fruit and you realize this fruit doesn't taste the same as it used to 20 years ago. There's no goodness in this fruit. Why is this? Why is this apple tasting like this? Why is it so deficient? Or you might see that there are no jobs available. There's an economic depression in the country, right? Or you are fearful, there are robberies, there are murders, there are people being knifed and stabbed. Why is all of this, why is this taking place? What are the reasons, right? And so we can see here that the Salaf, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they connected between the actions of the servants, the actions, the sins and the disobedience, and these kind of symptoms manifesting in the society. So this is the first statement I wanted to bring. The second statement is a beautiful statement from Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, and I want you to pay attention to this. And so he says this statement is an explanation of the same ayah, ظَهْرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. So he says, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says this ayah, نَزَّلَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ أو he said, نَزِّلْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ عَلَىٰ أَحْوَالِ الْعَالَمِ. So he's saying to you, take this verse and apply it to the situation or the affairs that you see taking place in the world. Take this ayah, apply it to every affair, every situation that you see taking place in the world. So if you want to take this verse and apply it to, for example, Egypt, apply it to Egypt. You know, the Arab Springs, the revolutions, apply it to the situation there. Right? Or any other country. Apply it to any other country. He says, وَطَابِقْ بَيْنَ الْوَاقِعِ وَبَيْنَهَا. Compare. So take this ayah, apply it to what you see in the world, and then compare and contrast, apply it and compare between the reality that you see and between what this verse is telling you. And you will see, وَأَنْتَ تَرَى كَيْفَ تَحْدُثْ مِنْ تِلْكَ الْآفَاتِ وَالْإِلَلِ. You will see how these calamities and these kind of flaws, they appear in every time. They're always appearing, meaning these deficiencies and flaws, whether it is in the fruits and the vegetation and the animals, and how these calamities and flaws and defects, that they come in succession. They are tied one to another. He says, وَكُلَّمَا أَحْدَثَ النَّاسُ ظُلْمًا وَفُجُورًا أَحْدَثَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى مِنَ الْآفَاتِ وَالْإِلَلِ. Every time the people, they bring about an instance of ظُلْم, an instance of oppression, right? So the subject now, you oppress another person, you oppress him in something, and or you commit fujur, you commit some sin. Every time this happens, their Lord, the Blessed and the Most High, what does He do? He brings out a calamity and some flaw or deficiency in وَالْإِلَلْ فِي أَغْذِيَتِهِمْ, in their food, in their nutrition, وَفَوَاكِهِهِمْ, in their fruits that they harvest, وَأَحْوِيَتِهِمْ وَمِيَاهِهِمْ, and in basically in the environment as well, in the waters, in the streams, in the waters, in the rivers, and in the air that they breathe, وَأَبْدَانِهِمْ, and in their bodies, وَخَلْقِهِمْ, and in the physical form and the structure of their bodies, وَصُوَرِهِمْ, and in their appearances, وَأَشْكَالِهِمْ, and in their forms and shapes, وَأَخْلَاقِهِمْ, and in their characteristics and qualities. So he brings out in all of these affairs, مِنَ النَّقْصِ وَالْآفَاتِ مَا هُوَ مُوجِبُ أَعْمَالِهِمْ وَظُلْمِهِمْ وَفُجُورِهِمْ. So he brings out flaws and deficiencies in all of these things that we mentioned, such calamities and flaws which are necessitated and demanded by their own actions, the actions which they are committing, the actions of dhulm, of oppression of each other, and the actions of the fujur, which is their sin. Now he gives a really nice example. He says, وَلَقَدْ كَانَتِ الْحُبُوبُ مِنَ الْحِنْطَةِ وَغَيْرِهَا أَكْبَرُ مِمَّا هِيَ الْيَوْمِ. He says that today, or he says that if you were to take a grain of wheat today, you will come to realize that in the time that has gone, a grain of wheat used to be much larger than it is today. كَمَا كَانَتِ الْبَرَكَةِ فِيهَا أَعْظَمُ. Just like the blessing in that grain of wheat was much greater. وَقَدْ رَوَى الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ بِإِسْنَادِهِ. Imam Ahmad has related with his isnad, أَنَّهُ وُجِدَ فِي خَزَائِنِ بَعْدِ بَنِي أُمَيَّةِ سُرَّةً فِيهَا حِنْطَةً أمثال نوى التمر مكتوبا عليها هذا كان ينبت أيام العدل. He said that, narrating from Imam Ahmad, that Bani Umayyah, so this is Ibn al-Qayyim narrating about the time of Imam Ahmad, who was saying that in the time of Bani Umayyah, which is 100 roughly years before Imam Ahmad, that there was found, they found a treasure chest of Bani Umayyah. And in this treasure chest, they found a grain of wheat. And this grain of wheat was the size of the date stone. It was this big, the grain of wheat. Right? It was that big. And it was written on this grain of wheat, هَذَا كَانَ يَنْبُتْ أَيَّامُ الْعَدَلِ. This is what used to grow in the days of justice. In the days of justice. When there was adl in the society, then this is how the wheat would grow in such a large size, and it would be of great barakah, plenty of barakah. So he says, وَهَذِهِ الْقِصَّةَ ذَكَرَهَا فِي مُسْنَدِهِ عَلَى, story he mentioned in his musnad. Then he goes on to explain that most of these diseases, وَأَكْثَرُ هَذِهِ الْأَمْرَاضِ وَالْآفَاتِ الْعَامَةِ بَكِيَّةُ عَذَابٍ عُذِّبَتْ بِهِ الْأُمَمِ السَّالِفَةِ. Most of these calamities that you see in the society, so remember, we are supposed to be applying this to everything that we see in the world, right? He's saying that most of these diseases and these general calamities that you see, they are simply a remnant. They are the after effects and the remnants or the remains of a punishment by which the previous nations were punished with. Then, these calamities and these diseases, they were allowed to remain so that anyone who did the same deeds as those destroyed nations, then these calamities and these afflictions will come and afflict them as well. In other words, all of those previous nations who have been mentioned in the Quran and who have been destroyed in a variety of different ways, whether it be the people of Nuh alayhi salam, whether it be the people of Ad and the Thamud, right? So many nations destroyed in different ways, some of them drowned, some of them swallowed by the earth, some of them destroyed completely by the wind, you know, a fierce wind. Others, for example, like it is mentioned here, the Bani Israel, in fact he says that ثُمَّ بَقِيَتْ مِنْهَا بَقِيَّةً مَرْصَدَةً لِمَنْ بَقِيَتْ عَلَيْهِ بَقِيَّةً مِنْ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. So these calamities and these types of diseases, they remained so that they can ambush any person who does the same deeds as those people did. And he says, حُكْمًا قِسْطًا وَقَضَاءً عَدْلًا. This is a just judgment and a just ruling. He says, وَقَدْ أَشَارَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَى هَذَا بِقَوْلِهِ فِي الطَّاعُونِ إِنَّهُ بَقِيَّةُ رِجْزٍ أَوْ عَذَابٍ أُرْسِلَ عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. So he mentioned about the plague. What is the plague? He said the plague this disease that comes and it's in, you know, it spreads, whatever. He says, this is a remnant of the punishment that was sent upon Bani Israel. وَكَذَلِكَ سَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الرِّيحَ عَلَى قَوْمٍ سَبْعَ لَيَالٍ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ. Likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal, He sent the wind for 7 nights and 8 days. And you know, this is some of the nations of the past, like Ad. So the point being, he is saying that all the calamities you see and the hardships that you see and all of the deficiencies that you find in people's appearances, in their bodies, in the food that they are eating and everything else, then, you know, this has a certain reason and a cause, and the decrease in barakah. All of this returns back to the people's deeds, the people's actions, the people's zulm, the people's fujur that they fall into. Then he continues. He says, وَقَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ أَعْمَالُ الْبَرِّ وَالْفَاجِرِ مُقْتَدَيَاتٍ لِآثَارِهَا فِي هَذَا الْعَالَمِ اِقْتِدَاءً لَا بُدَّ مِنْهِ. So what he's saying here is that Allah Azza wa Jal has tied to the actions of every righteous person and every evil person, he's tied to their actions certain effects. Certain effects in this world that they are absolutely, they cannot be disconnected. Right? These are tied like this. If you do certain actions, this will happen. If you do certain actions, that will happen. Right? This is what Ibn al-Qayyim is saying. So, this is like, for example, you know that if you, as a rule in Allah's creation, when you drink this water, it will remove your thirst. We know this from experience, right? Likewise, if you put your hand in the fire, that hand is going to burn. These are the laws of Allah in His creation. We know these laws because we study them, we experience them, and through that we are able to understand the world and, you know, facilitate our livelihood and other affairs. But there are some other things which we cannot know just by this limited experience. And these are the things that Allah Azza wa Jal has informed us of in the Qur'an. And His Messenger has explained in more detail in the Sunnah. So Ibn al-Qayyim is mentioning here that Allah Azza wa Jal has tied to every righteous person's actions and every evil person's actions certain effects which are not separable. You can't separate them. So he made فَجَعَلَ مَنْ الْإِحْسَانِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَالصَّدَقَةِ سَبَبًا لِمَنْ الْغَيْفِ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْقَهْرِ وَالْجَدَرِ. So he said, Allah Azza wa Jal, when a people, they withhold being kind to others and giving the zakah and giving sadaqah, charity, when they withhold this, then Allah has made this to be a reason or a cause for the rain to be withheld from the sky and for there to be a drought and a famine. So now, what is the real and true cause of a drought and famine? Is it because of the evil ruler? Is it because of economic policies? Is it because of this? Is it because of that? No. These are not the real, true underlying causes. Here it has been made clear for us in the Sunnah that when the people, the subjects, they withhold being benevolent and kind to the poor and the needy, withhold the zakah, withhold the sadaqah, then Allah Azza wa Jal will withhold the rain from the sky. And then there will be droughts and famines and, you know, lack of provision. This is the true, real and the true cause. And this is very clearly stated in a hadith anyway, which we're going to mention. Likewise, he says, وَجَعَلَ ظُلْمَ الْمَسَاكِينَ. And he made that when people oppress those who are poor, and to cheat in weights and measures, فِي الْمَكَاييلِ وَالْمَوَازِينِ, and when a strong person, he basically devours a weak person. Right? So in some societies, you find the people who are strong and rich and powerful, they manipulate and exploit the poor people, as you find in many, many societies. Economically, the rich always exploit the weak. So when you see this happening, what happens? That Allah Azza wa Jal, He has made this sababan لجور الملوك والولاة الذين لا يرحمون إن استرحموا ولا يعطفون إن استعطفوا. He said that this is a cause for the tyranny of the ruler, for the ruler becoming tyrannical and oppressive. He puts such kings that if you ask them to show mercy, they will not show mercy. If you ask them to be considerate, they will not be considerate. So look at this. What is the real reason for a tyrannical ruler, an oppressive ruler? Right? Where should we be pointing the fingers? And who is the one who appointed that tyrannical ruler? Who is the one who laid down this law of tyrannical rulers being put over people because they do certain deeds and actions, which is they cheat in the weights and measures between themselves, and the strong exploit the weak? Who is the one who laid down this law? It is Allah Azza wa Jal, from His wisdom and from His justice. So He says, وَهُمْ, meaning these rulers, وَهُمْ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ أَعْمَالُ الرَّعَايَا ظَهَرَتْ فِي سُوَرِ وُلَاتِهِمْ. So what He's saying here is that when you see a tyrannical ruler and he's tyrannical on his subjects, he does not show them mercy, he does not show them kindness, and he does not fulfill their rights. What is it that we are seeing in this ruler? What we are seeing is the actions of his subjects, the deeds of everybody in his nation, they have been physically represented, they have taken a physical form in this ruler. What you are seeing of this ruler and all of his deeds, that is simply a manifestation of what the people are doing. Or not what the people are doing, but what the people deserve from Allah Azza wa Jal by way of His adal and hikmah, by way of His justice and His hikmah. Look at this. So, He says, and then look at this, He says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ بِحِكْمَتِهِ وَعَدْلِهِ يُظْهِرُ لِلنَّاسِ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِي قَوَالِبٍ فِي قَوَالِبِ وَسُوَرٍ تَنَاسَبُهَا. Indeed Allah the Sublime, through His wisdom and His justice, He makes people, He makes it appear to people, or He makes their own deeds appear to them in the form of forms and appearances and shapes in front of them, which are directly related to their deeds, right? So He says, for example, sometimes He will show them their deeds by way of a famine or a drought. This is one way. The second way, وَتَارَةً بِعَدُوٍ. The second way He will show them their own deeds is by way of an enemy. An enemy who comes and who attacks your land. Right? وَتَارَةً بِوُلَاتٍ جَائِرِينَ. Another time it could be by way of tyrannical rulers. Tyrannical rulers. He shows them their own deeds by way of tyrannical rulers. وَتَارَةً بِأَمْرَاضٍ عَامَّةٍ. Other times it is by way of general diseases. Disease which spreads. وَتَارَةً بِهُمُومٍ والآلام وهموم تحضرها نفوسهم لا ينفقون عنها. Another time, or other times, it is by way of people being struck with anxiety and stress and sorrow and grief. These things come to their souls and they do not leave their souls. Right? This is another way. وتارة بمنع بركات السماء والأرض عنهم. Other times it is by him withholding the blessings of the heaven and the earth from them. So nothing, rain does not come down, nor does the herbage come out of the earth. Why? لِتُحِقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ الْكَلِمَةِ وَلِيَسِيرَ كُلٌّ مِّنْهُمْ إِلَى مَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Why does Allah do this? He does it first of all so His word can be established true against them. His word can be proven over them. And that every individual, by way of Allah's qadr, he will be led to his destination, his eventual destination. Look at the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal. See this, how Ibn Qayyim has perfectly explained everything to us. So everything you are seeing, he mentioned everything. A famine, a drought, an enemy attacking and dominating your nation, tyrannical rulers, general diseases which, in terms of the body, which spread in the society, psychological illnesses, stress, depression, anxiety, sorrow, grief, which enter the souls and do not separate from them. Or it can be withholding the rain and withholding the growth from the earth. Or it can be, and then he says also, وَتَارَةً بِتَسْلِيتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ عَلَيْهِمْ تَأُزُّهُمْ إِلَى أَسْبَابِ الْعَذَابِ أَزَّى. And other times Allah might just incite the devils, the shayateen. He will incite them against you to lead you further into, you know, misguidance and the causes of punishment. All of this, Allah is doing this to establish His word as being true and to lead each person, you know, to whatever his outcome is going to be by way of his al-qadr, by way of al-qadr. وَالْعَاقِلُ يُسَيِّرُ بَسِيرَتَهُ بَيْنَ أَقْطَارِ الْعَالَمِ. So the intelligent person, he takes his sight and he puts his sight over the various parts of the world. And he witnesses all of this, and he starts to see the how Allah's adl, Allah's justice and Allah's wisdom is being manifested. And then it will become clear to him that the messengers and their followers specifically, they are the ones who are on the path of deliverance. And as for all of the creation, the rest of the creation, they are upon the path of destruction. And they are, you know, moving towards the path of destruction. And Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who can reach his affair. No one can follow up and, you know, alter his judgment. And no one can repel his command. And with Allah is success.
Can the owner of a Citroen minibus, registration number CU15VYS, please move their vehicle immediately? Registration number CU15VYS, Citroen minibus, which is parked across the road from the masjid. Jazakallah khair.
So this is a tremendous statement from Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And before we continue with some speech from Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, you know very well that these statements that are being made are themselves taken from the Qur'an and from the Sunnah. And so there is the famous hadith that you know, related by Abdullah bin Amr, radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned to the muhajireen and he explained to them that there are going to be five things. There are five things which if you are put to trial with them, or I seek refuge that you are going to be put to trial with them, or that you reach them. Then he mentions these five things. And the first of those things he mentions, he says, never does al-fahisha, never does open obscenity manifest in a people until they you know, announce it openly and make it open, illa fasha fihim al-ta'un, except wal-awja', except that plagues and diseases will enter into them that their forefathers never had before. So this is now the Messenger of Allah telling us about a rule in Allah's creation, that when the people start committing obscenity, you know, illegal sexual intercourse, sharing partners, making it open, having all of this promiscuity, then what is going to happen is that there will be plagues and diseases that were not found or were not widespread in their ancestors. And of course you can see this clearly, this is true in the societies that we live in. You know, sexually transmitted diseases are all over the place, you know, because of this culture, of this permissive culture that they are spreading. Anyway, that's the rule in Allah's creation. And then he says, وَلَمْ يَنْقُصُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانِ إِلَّا أُخِذُوا بِالسِّنِينَ وَشِدَّةِ الْمَعُونَةِ وَجَوْرِ السُّلْطَانِ عَلَيْهِمْ. And never do they cheat in the weights and measures, except that they are taken by years of hardship and scarcity of provision and the tyranny of the ruler over them. So this is very explicit from the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the one who does not speak from his own desire. This is revelation. The Quran is revelation, and the Sunnah, this is also revelation as well. And so this knowledge which he gave us is from Allah Azza wa Jal informing us about His creation, that if individuals cheat each other in the weights and measures, then Allah will bring tyrannical rulers over them. Then He continues, وَلَمْ يَمْنَعُوا زَكَاةَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ إِلَّا مُنِعُوا الْقَطَرِ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَلَوْلَا الْبَهَائِمِ لَمْ يَمْتَرُوا. And never do they withhold the zakah of their wealth, except that the rain will be held from the sky. Had it not been for the animals, then they would have never been given rain from the sky. Then he continues, never do they break the covenant of Allah. وَلَمْ يَنْقُدُوا أَحْدَ اللَّهِ وَأَحْدَ رَسُولِهِ إِلَّا سَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ عَدُوًا مِنْ غَيْرِهِمْ فَأَخَذُوا بَعْدَ مَا كَانَ فِي أَيْدِهِمْ. Never ever do they break or violate the covenant of Allah and His Messenger. What is the covenant of Allah and His Messenger? That we worship none but Allah and we obey His Messenger. This is the covenant. Never do they break this covenant except that Allah, He empowers an enemy over them. And this enemy comes from beside them and it takes some of what they used to possess. Right? So when the Muslims break the covenant of Allah and His Messenger, then Allah empowers enemies to come and to dominate them. Right? And to, you know, over-empower them. And then they begin to take from them what they used to possess. We're going to speak about this a bit more, inshallah. And to the end, وَمَا لَمْ تَحْكُمْ أَئِمَّتُهُمْ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And so never do their leaders not rule by the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَيَتَحَرَّوا فِيمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ. And seek to, you know, apply that which Allah revealed. إِلَّا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ بَأْسَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ شَدِيدًا. Except that Allah makes the infighting between them to be very severe. So the point being, from all of this, you can see that the Qur'an and the Sunnah have taught us that this creation works in a certain way. There are rules in Allah's creation. So if you abide by certain things, you will have al-aman, you will have safety and security, and you will have rizq. And then when you commit corruption in the ways that we mentioned, then this will go to the other side. There will be khawf, there will be fear, there will be poverty, there will be hunger. And so this is how we understand what is happening in every single nation and society. Now, to explain this even more, this hadith which I just mentioned to you, I want to focus on the fourth one. The fourth one, it mentions that when the people break Allah's covenant and His Messenger's covenant, Allah will empower enemies over them. And those enemies will take what they used to possess. I want to mention another beautiful statement from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and I won't read the Arabic for shortage of time, but I'll explain to you the essence of what he's saying. This is in the 13th volume of Majmu' al-Fatawa, page 177 onwards. This is abridged. So basically he's explaining here the first thing he explains is, why did the very first ruling dynasty come to an end? Who is the very first ruling dynasty in Islam? Right? So we have the Khulafa after the Messenger of Allah. Then there was the Bani Umayyah, right? The Umayyads. They ruled for roughly around maybe 80, 100 years or so. Ibn Taymiyyah is explaining, why did their rule come to an end? Why did they come to an end? So he says, the last of the Khulafa of Bani Umayyah, his name was Marwan bin Muhammad Al-Ja'di. Al-Ja'di. Why did he take this name Al-Ja'di? Where did this name Al-Ja'd come from? Al-Ja'di. He says Al-Ja'di is an ascription to Al-Ja'd bin Dirham. This mubtadi, this innovator, misguided innovator, Al-Ja'd bin Dirham, is the one who brought into Islam the ideas of the Greek philosophers, the Jews, the Christians, in relation to Allah's names and attributes. Right? He brought all of that into Islam. He brought that statement. And this ruler of Bani Umayyah, he allied himself with Al-Ja'd bin Dirham until he began to ascribe himself to him, Al-Ja'di. So he says, the misfortune of this ascription returned back upon him such that the Umayyad state came to an end. Meaning that his rule was ended because he made friendship and allegiance with this innovator, this misguided innovator. This is why his rulership came to an end. And he said, for when innovations which oppose the deen of the messengers appear in a nation, then Allah seeks revenge from whoever opposes the messengers, and he will then aid the cause of the messengers. He continues, when hypocrisy, when innovations, when sinfulness, when bid'ah and fujur appeared, which were in opposition to the deen of the messengers, the enemies were empowered over them. Thus, Christian Rome came out to Sham and the Jazeera time after time, and they gradually took over the coastal regions of Sham on the Mediterranean. Bit by bit, until they took Bayt al-Maqdis at the end of the 4th century Hijrah. He's speaking about the Crusaders. The Crusaders came from the West, from Europe, they came all across from France and other places, and they made their way through Anatolia all the way down to Sham. This is what he's speaking of. Why did this happen? It happened because al-bid'ah wal-nifaq wal-fujur was manifested in the Muslim nation. Right? The people broke the covenant of Allah and His Messenger. And so Allah empowered the enemy over them. And so this enemy took some of what they used to possess, the very words of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? So they took all of that coastal region of Sham, they kept coming in waves, the first crusade, second crusade, third crusade, right? And they did what they did. What's the reason for that? What's the reason? Al-bid'ah wal-fujur. Innovations. The people, you know, these innovations entered the Muslim nation, the bid'ah of the Khawarij, the Rafida, the Qadariya, the Murji'a, the Mu'tazila, the Jahmiya, all these innovations, and then they kind of snowballed and became bigger and more evil until outright disbelief, statements of outright disbelief, and then shirk appeared, you know, in northern Egypt at the hands of Rafidi Batinis, right? This is what he's referring to. So from the West come the Crusaders. Then he says, he continues, so after a period they besieged Damascus, they took over Damascus, and in this period the people of Sham were in the worst of situations, in between the Christians on the one side, so they were attacked by the Christians on one side, and on the other side they were attacked by the heretics and the Batiniyah, right? These were hypocrite disbelievers, right? They were upon disbelief, they came from North Africa, they moved across to Egypt, and they established a state in Egypt. They had other states in Bahrain and northern Iran. These were all what we call the Batiniyah. These were hypocrites, disbelievers, pretending to be upon Islam, and they trying to mix between Persian philosophy, Persian religion, fire worship, and between something of the Sharia and with the Greek philosophy, mixing it all together and coming with a new religion, and then packaging it, putting the label on the top of Shiism. So outwardly it's Shiism, we love Ahlul Bayt, and underneath it's all of this mixture of fire worship, the Majin religion, Greek philosophy, and all of this, right? So these people, they had a state in northern, in Egypt, and in Bahrain, towards the, where Bahrain is, and likewise in northern Iran, right? These states appeared as well. So the Muslims were being attacked from that direction, and likewise from the Crusaders from this direction from Europe. What's the reason for all of that? Al-bid'ah wal-fujur. Then he says, and likewise when the people of the East, now we're going towards the East, towards Khorasan, right, Afghanistan, those areas. When the people of the East were established upon Islam, they were aided against the pagan disbelievers from the Turk, and from the Hindus, and from the Chinese. And in that time, the Turk was a general term referring to various groups of people, the Mongolians, and the Turkmen people who at that time hadn't, you know, entered into Islam, many of them hadn't entered Islam, like the furthest regions, right? So when the people in the East, the people of the Sunnah, they were upon the Sunnah, and when they were upon this, they were aided against the pagan disbelievers from the Turk, the Indians, the Hindus, the Chinese, and others. But when there appeared from them whatever appeared of innovations of al-bid'ah, wal-ilhad, ilhad meaning turning away and negation of Allah's attributes and things like that, and fujur and sinfulness, the disbelievers were unleashed against them. So who came from the other side? On the other side, the Mongols came, the Tatar and the Mongols. These people were the most barbaric, vicious, fierce types of warriors that came from Mongolia, and they took two routes. The first route, they came underneath towards Iran, Iraq, what is modern day Iran, Iraq, Sham, all the way reaching, you know, to Damascus, to the close to the Mediterranean. And then they went above as well, above the I think the Black Sea, all the way across Russia, all the way across to the Ukraine, all the way across right into Europe. They reached right into Europe. Allah unleashed them from the east, right? And so you know, you all know the bloodshed and the murder that these people committed upon the Muslim nation, right? The really terrible stories of what these people did, right? So all of this is happening at pretty much the same time. And this is just before the time of Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, that the situation of the Muslim nation was extremely, extremely dire. Much worse, multiple times worse than what it is today. Right? An enemy from the east, an enemy from the west, the Mongols. And in the Muslim nation there are hypocrites, batiniya, right? And they are littered in different places, and all of them are aiding each other in order to eat up and devour the people of the Sunnah, the people of the Sunnah, Sunni Islam, right? So he says, he continues, and the cause of these enemies entering the lands of the Muslims was the appearance of deviation, ilhad, hypocrisy, nifaq, and innovations, bid'ah. And the intent here is to explain that the cause of the decline of the state of Bani Umayyah was this Ja'ad bin Dirham, the denier of Allah's attributes, and other reasons behind it as well. So, can you now connect the hadith that we mentioned earlier to what Ibn Taymiyyah is mentioning of the Crusaders, and then the Mongols and the Tatars, and then this continued after Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah? Because you know that maybe three or four centuries after Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah came the age and the era of colonialism and imperialism, where these European nations, they went, you know, France, Britain, Denmark, Germany, Holland, where did they go? Right? They went all across. They went to India, they went to Indonesia, they went to Egypt, they colonized all of these lands. What's the reason for that? What's the reason for why that happened? It is because the Muslims, they broke the covenant of Allah and the covenant of His Messenger. And this covenant is that we worship none but Allah alone. We worship Him upon Tawheed. And that we follow the Sunnah of the Messenger. We worship Allah in the way that His Messenger taught us to worship Him. When you break that covenant, then this is the real and true reason why enemies are empowered over you. Now, there are many more statements that I have here that I could read, but I want to just stop at this point and just make some reflections, because I want you to really pick out the important lesson from all of this, which is that we have to really and truly understand the true and real causes behind the calamities in ourselves, in our own lives as individuals, in our families, the trials that we have with our families, and likewise the calamities that we have as a nation, or that we find in Muslim nations. Through all of these statements that you've read, and there are many more as well, you can now start to understand why calamities appear in your life. Why you are having problems with wealth, with provision, and with fear, and with safety. And we want you to relate these affairs to your actual life, and likewise to the affairs which are taking place in the Muslim nation. And what we want to make clear is the difference between the people of Tawheed and the people of Sunnah, who are the true rectifiers. They are the true rectifiers of the individual and the society. Right? And they rectify based upon detailed knowledge, insight. And they are in stark contrast to all of these people who are out there in the field, operating in the field of da'wah, trying to win numbers, trying to win the minds and the hearts of the common Muslims who don't know these things, don't understand these things, right? Whether you have these groups like the Muslim Brotherhood, whether you have Hizbut Tahrir, whether you have, and the extremist groups amongst them, all of these people are misguided. And they are upon misguided methodologies, because they are not following the methodology of the prophets and messengers in rectifying the society. Let me give you a quick example to show you the severe danger of this. For many, many decades, it was believed that the reason for heart disease and heart attacks was a chemical or a molecule called cholesterol. Right? So on the basis that cholesterol is the direct cause of clogging your arteries, right, upon this notion, for many, many decades, medicines and drugs were developed in order to, affect the level of cholesterol in your body. It turned out that this wasn't the actual cause, and the buildup of plaque wasn't the actual cause, but rather it was a symptom of something else. It was something else. What the real cause was, is that because of diet and stress, like eating bad foods, it causes inflammation in your veins, right? You're eating bad food, and your immune system is now triggering a response that it really shouldn't be doing. So when it starts creating this inflammation in a certain spot, in a certain location, right, the cholesterol which is flowing in the body tries to come to salvage, to try and repair that issue. Right, so the cholesterol is a bystander, it's not the cause. It's a bystander. This is like, for example, when you have an accident in a motorway, and then an ambulance comes to repair, and a fire engine comes to sort out this problem. Right? So do you now say, you know what, the cause of this problem in the motorway was the fire engine and the ambulance? You don't say that. It was something else. It was something else. You understand? So now they're realizing, hold on, cholesterol is not the actual cause, but it's a witness and a bystander to the actual problem, which is inflammation. So now they're having to completely alter 3 or 4 decades worth of incorrect advice and incorrect medication. Now they're telling you things that there are good fats. Not all fat is bad, right? Reduce the carbohydrates to make sure there's, inflammation is reduced. Cholesterol, there is two types. There's HDL and LDL. It's not all the same, So anyway, the point being, can you see how you can destroy people's lives when you cannot distinguish between a symptom and a cause? Can you see how, I'll give you a physical example, how you can destroy people's lives, right? You give them drugs and medication that make them impotent, and you're not even solving the problem, right? You're not getting down to the actual underlying problem. In a similar manner, imagine how the people of bid'ah and dalala, how much corruption and death and destruction they are going to cause, because they cannot identify the true cause, and they confuse the symptom with the cause. Can you see that clearly? right? We made it clear that tyrannical rulers are a symptom of something else. Right? The tyrannical rulers are simply a manifestation of Allah's justice and wisdom. And that there are reasons why these tyrannical rulers are there. In fact, let me, while we're on this topic, I'm going to read you and finish with a statement from Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah. And he's speaking, again, on the same topic. And he says, in fact, he mentions many different things, but I want to pick out this specific one in particular. He says, وَتَأَمَّلْ حِكْمَتَهُ تَعَالَى فِي أَنْ جَعَلَ مُلُوكَ الْعِبَادِ وَأُمَرَاءَهُمْ وَوُلَاتَهُمْ مِنْ جِنْسِ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. Look and reflect at the wisdom of Allah, how He has made the kings and the rulers and the leaders over the people to be of the same species, of the same type, as the actions of the people. Rather, it is as if the actions of the servants have become manifest in the forms and appearances of their rulers. So if they, the people, are upon istiqamah, then their kings will be upon istiqamah, will be upon uprightness with respect to them. وَإِنْ عَدَلُوا عَدَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. And if they, the people, behave with justice, then the kings will be just over them. And if they are oppressive, meaning against each other, then the rulers will be oppressive over them. And if amongst the people there is al-makr wal-khadi'a, right? So if now within the society you start deceiving and being dishonest and being insincere to one another in your dealings with one another, if this starts appearing in a society, then their rulers will be made likewise over them. The rulers now are going to deceive the subjects. Right? And if the subjects withhold the rights of Allah from each other, then, and they are stingy with respect to them, then their kings and their rulers are going to be likewise over them. Right? So if you don't fulfill the rights of your Muslim brother and your relatives and you fall short in that, then the rulers are going to withhold the rights that you have upon them. This is the real cause. Right? This is the real cause why they may be hoarding the wealth. This is the real cause why they want you to fulfill their rights, but they don't want to give you your rights. These are the real underlying reasons. He says, if the people take and misappropriate from each other, or from those who are weak, and so they exploit them and take from them their wealth, if the subjects do this between themselves, then Allah will make the kings and the rulers to take from the whole society, right, what the kings and the rulers do not deserve. So they will impose upon them al-mukus wal-wada'if. They will impose upon them taxes and duties on their wealth. And likewise, every time the people, they take something from a weak and downtrodden person, they see he's susceptible and weak, and they exploit him, and they take something from him, then Allah will make the kings to take the same from the people with force and with strength. So he says, فَعُمَّالُهُمْ ظَهَرَتْ فِي سُوَرِ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. So meaning that the rulers over them are just simply a manifestation of their own actions. وَلَيْسَ فِي الْحِكْمَةِ الْإِلَهِيَّةِ أَنْ يُوَلَّى عَلَى الْأَشْرَارِ الْفُجَّارِ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ إِلَّا مَنْ يَكُونُ مِنْ جِنْسِهِمْ. It is not from the wisdom, divine wisdom, that upon the sinful evil people that they are made to rule except by people who are of their likes. Then he says, when we look at the very first generation, the best of generations, the most pious of generations, meaning Abu Bakr and Umar, we see that their rulers, meaning Abu Bakr and Umar, they were like that over them. And when they began to, mix evil with good, then likewise the rulers were made over them likewise. فَحِكْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى تَعْبَى أَنْ يُوَلِّي عَلَيْنَا فِي مِثْلِ هَذِهِ الْأَزْمَانِ. فَحِكْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى تَعْبَى أَنْ يُوَلِّي عَلَيْنَا فِي مِثْلِ هَذِهِ الْأَزْمَانِ مِثْلَ مُعَاوِيَةِ وَعُمَرِ بْنَ عَبْدِ الْعَزِيزِ. So meaning that the wisdom of Allah refuses that in our time we should be ruled over by people that, who are the likes of Muawiyah and Umar bin Abdul Aziz, let alone the likes of Abu Bakr and Umar. Rather, our rulers are in accordance with us, and the rulers of those who were before us were in accordance with the people who came before. And all of these affairs, they are in accordance with the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal. So you can see now here from the statement of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, that the ruler is simply a manifestation of the people. And Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who places the Amir, as has been stated by Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu anhu. He said, Innal Amir min Amrillah. The Amir, the appointing of the Amir, is from the affair of Allah. Allah is the one who appoints him. فَمَنْ تَعَنَ فِي الْأَمِيرِ. So whoever reviles the Amir, فَإِنَّهُ يَطْعَنُ فِي أَمْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Then really he is reviling the affair of Allah عز وجل. Meaning, and this is a refutation of all of these ignorant people, whether they are from the Muslim Brotherhood or Hizb ut-Tahrir and those kind of people with this faulty understanding, that the rulers over the Muslims have been appointed by Allah Azza wa Jal by way of His divine wisdom and His divine justice. So any person who comes along and he starts reviling, saying, meaning he comes and says, the reason for no jobs is because of this wicked evil ruler. The reason for the disunity of the Muslim nation is because of this evil ruler. Meaning everything, the ruler is responsible for it. Every single calamity on the face of this earth is the ruler's fault. Right? Right, and so he's making ta'an upon the Amir. Right, what this person is really doing, he's making ta'an upon the affair, the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. The command of Allah which is kawni, qadari. Meaning the affair, the laws of Allah in His creation. He's really reviling the command of Allah. Right? He's criticizing the wisdom and the justice of Allah Azza wa Jal in placing these particular rulers over the people. Why? Because this person has no fiqh, a jahil. Right? So the point being from all of this, discussion, and likewise, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, in fact, he has a similar statement. If I can find where it is, we'll finish with this inshallah ta'ala. He says, indeed the affair of rule being destined for the kings and their deputies from the rulers, judges and leaders is not due to the deficiency in them alone, but due to the deficiency in both the shepherd and the flock together. As you yourselves behave, you will be ruled over in a like manner. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Thus do we turn the oppressors against each other on account of that which they used to earn, that which they used to basically do. And Abu Bakr Muhammad al-Tartushi rahimahullah, he said, and we'll finish with this inshallah ta'ala, I never ceased listening to the people making this statement, أَعْمَالُكُمْ عُمَّالُكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ عُمَّالُكُمْ. Your actions, your own actions, are your workers, are your own agents. He says, I kept hearing this statement, people mentioning this statement. I never really understood it. I never understood it. And as you yourselves behave, كَمَا تَكُونُونَ يُوَلَّ عَلَيْكُمْ. And as you yourselves behave, you will be ruled over likewise. I never understood why the people were saying this or what it meant until I grasped this meaning from the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then He mentioned this verse. وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضًا
بَعْضًا.
So he said that I never understood what this meant until I grasped the meaning from this ayah in the Quran. وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Thus do we turn the oppressors one against the other on account of that which they used to earn. So he said, and it used to be said, that whatever thing you are showing rejection against in your time, whatever thing you're complaining about in your time, then it is your own deed that has corrupted that for you. And Abdul Malik bin Marwan said, to the people. This is a ruler from the Bani Umayyah. He said, "O subjects, you have not dealt justly with us. You want from us the seerah, meaning the way and the behavior and the treatment of Abu Bakr and Umar, but you yourselves do not behave with respect to us or yourselves with the behavior of Abu Bakr and Umar." Right? So we'll finish with that statement from Ibn Taymiyyah. There are actually many, many more statements I have here, due to shortage of time, I can't go into all of them. But inshallah, the general idea, you understand the general picture, that the people of the Sunnah, they are followers of the prophets and the messengers, and they gain a correct and true understanding of how He behaves with His creation. They understand the rules of Allah Azza wa Jal, as we find in these texts from the Quran, from these ayat and from the ahadith and from the elaboration of, you know, the statements that we brought from the Salaf, from the Sahaba and from the Tabi'een and from Ibn al-Qayyim and Ibn Taymiyyah, that we have a very particular understanding of the reasons and causes for all of the calamities that happen in society, to individuals or whole nations. We know why this is happening. It is because the people are far away from the sound creed. They have entered into shirk. They have entered innovations. And so long as these affairs remain, then Allah's justice, Allah's vengeance, Allah's wisdom will continue to be implemented. Right? So the people of the Sunnah are the true rectifiers of the earth. They are true rectifiers of the society. And this is why the whole issue of the methodology of the prophets in calling to Allah. This is not obviously my topic, but other speakers will, you know, address this particular topic. But I wanted to cover this topic in my lesson so that you can better appreciate some of the other lectures and how important it is for us to truly understand the stories of the prophets, what they began with, what they taught to their people, how they began with Tawheed, and how they began with obedience to the Messenger. This is the true cause of rectification. And it is only the true, genuine scholars who are upon the way of the Salaf, who can identify the true and real causes behind the calamities. Right? Right? The reason why Muslims are split and divided and humiliated, it's not because of, the disbelieving nations. Right? Don't point your finger at the non-Muslim rulers. Don't point your finger at them. Don't point your finger just at the rulers. Right? They are one part of many, many factors. Right? So when you misunderstand this whole issue, then you will embark upon methodologies which bring even more corruption, even more harm, even more bloodshed than there was at the very beginning. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah said, that 70 or 60 years of tyrannical rule is better than a single night without a ruler. Meaning living in chaos and confusion without a ruler to organize the affairs. Right? It is better to have 60 years of that than to have a single night of, you know, without having a ruler. So, inshallah, perhaps we've benefited from some of these tremendously insightful statements from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim. And as I said, try to relate what you've heard in this lesson, because all of the lectures today are connected, and some of them fill gaps in others, and some of them provide more details, you know, a bit more detail than others. So put everything together and gain a good understanding of this topic. Inshallah ta'ala, we ask Allah to benefit us from the knowledge of the mashayikh that we quoted from. May Allah have mercy upon them all.